Hallelujah. You know, at the end of last year and into the beginning of this year, I was just seeking God about some of the things that I should bring. And the Lord spoke to me and gave me a number of different studies. Some, I think the majority of them I've done, I've covered in the either on a Tuesday night or on a wet Sunday. But the first thing God spoke to me, I've never really got the go-ahead, if you like, from the Lord to bring it. And I was waiting upon the Lord just preparing for today. And I just felt that release to share what God spoke to me back in, well, it would have been the first week of January, and I was sort of thinking about this scripture. So I want us to turn to Romans chapter 8. Actually, it's the way, when you look at it, it's been quite amazing to see the way God's brought some of the subjects together and, you know, how they've knitted together. And this, what we're going to look at tonight, follows on very nicely from the study on holiness that we did a few weeks ago. And I want to deal with, over the next few weeks, looking at sonship, particularly, and as I'm calling the series of teaching, sort of the manifestation of the sons of God. And in Romans chapter 8, I want to read from verse 12 and read through to 21. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, over the... I made it seven when I sat and worked it out and looked through the plan. Over the next seven Tuesdays that I take, I want to go through almost verse by verse this little bit we read from Romans 8. I want to start with just by looking tonight and considering what it says in verse 14. Well, really, it's verses 12 to 14, but verse 14 is the key verse. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, a son is, when it talks about son in the Bible, it talks about kinship, like a family member. Yes, it means, and we mustn't get under, it does mean a male offspring. A male child. Now, we know that in God there's no gender in that sense. So sons and daughters are all classed as sons. You know, the Bible talks about man, and we know it's talking about woman as well. So when we read about sons of God, we're not excluding the women. You know, they're very much included, but you have to realize that women are sons as well. So men are sons and women are sons. So it talks about a male child, a male offspring. But then the idea of a son, or the word son, is one of a descendant. So it's not just a male, or it talks about your descendants, your children. The posterity, or the successive generations that a father and a mother have. Then a son is, you know, these are quite straightforward. A son is one, or someone who is the object of parental love and care. So they come under the parental love and care. You know, the parents look after them, parents love them, the parents care for them, parents take care, sort of feed them, clothe them, train them up, send them out. Well, it is in the animal kingdom, kick them out of the nest.
Parental control, he said.
Yeah, parental control, under their control. Then we see something else about a son. Another thing about a son is, it's a son is someone, and you read it, we often read this in the scriptures, it's someone who's connected with, partaking of, or exposed to a person, a thing, or a place. So what do I mean by that? Well, in the scriptures you'll see sometimes the Bible talks about the sons of light. You know, talking about people that are exposed to the light. People that are exposed to, talking about sons of darkness. People that are partakers, or that are connected to darkness. They're evil, they're wicked. The Bible talks about sons of the kingdom. You know, children that are connected, or people that are connected with the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, particularly in Elisha's time, we read about the sons of the prophets. You know, there was a group of people that the prophets and their sons. They're people that sons, the Bible talks about, I think it's Lamentations, talks about the sons of Zion. You know, they're children of that come from a particular place in the scriptures. So there's a son is someone that's connected with, partaking of, or exposed to either a person, a thing, or a place. You know, you're loads of times through the scriptures see that it talks about somebody being the son of David, or the son of Jesse, or, you know, the son of Abraham, or the son of Isaac. You know, they make those things. They took people that are connected to those people. Something else we see in the scriptures, and specifically the term son, is used in reference to the Son of God. Now, we know that that's talking about Jesus, and it's used with a capital S. You know, he is the Son of God. But then the Bible talks about sons of God. And then we've read it in our reading here. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And that's talking about, it's not talking about Jesus, it's talking about you and me. And it's notice it's a son with a little s. You know, it's those that God loves and cherishes like a father. It's the saints of God. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's those that are washed clean in his blood. That means it's you and it's me and everybody else, you know, that belongs to the Lord. These are the sons of God. Now, another key word in this verse that we read here is this word here. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, this word led, and they're not talking about the thing that's on the roof that keeps the water out from running down your walls. This word led here it means to lead, to drive, to bring, to carry, or to remove. To lead. You know what it is when you lead someone. You lead someone along the road. You lead them by the hand. It means to drive, to bear, to bring, to carry, to remove. And I want us to bear that in mind as we look at some illustrations in the scriptures. Now, whether we finish it all tonight, because time is pressing on. But we just, I just want to read a few scriptures, and because we're looking at tonight, sons of God are spirit-led. Sons of God are spirit-led. I want us to go first to the second book of Corinthians. Chapter 6. Second book of Corinthians, chapter 6. And you'll know why I said a little while ago that this follows on nicely from our studies on holiness that we did. Because the first scripture we're going to read tonight is verses 17 and 18. And here in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 says, therefore... And Paul now quotes the scripture from the Old Testament. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. They're just for the women. God puts in daughters. He includes the women. You shall be my sons and daughters. But there, God says, look, I want you to come out from among them and be separate. In other words, I want you to be, he said, be removed. That's one of the definitions of the word led, to be removed. You've got to be removed from the world. You've got to come out from among the world and be separate from them. I mean, we looked at that in our studies on holiness. You know, that we've got to be separated unto God. We've got to be holy and separate. And God says, he says, I will receive you. He says, and you'll be my sons. You know, if you come out from among them, I will receive you and you will be my sons. You know, God declares that we will be his sons. You know, those who are led of the Spirit, those who are if I can use it like this, those who are removed by the Spirit from out of the world, from out of the kingdom of darkness, are his sons. They will be his sons. You know, if we allow God's Spirit to lead us out of darkness, we allow God's Spirit to bring us out of sin, we allow God's Spirit to bring us out of Egypt, if you like. That's, Egypt always talks about being in bondage to sin. And if we allow God to bring us out, or the Spirit to bring us out, you know, God declares that we will be his sons. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is always to lead us. And there are a number of examples. Perhaps we will look at them. We'll have to apologize to Charmaine if we overrun. But let's go to John 16. Because here, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you know anything about these chapters of John's Gospel, you know these are spoken on the night that Jesus sat down with his disciples to eat the Passover meal. So this is hours before Jesus is arrested in Gethsemane. And if you put all the Gospels together, you'll know that on that night, you know, Jesus sent his disciples to go and prepare the Passover meal. Then in the evening, they gathered together. Jesus got down. He washed his disciples' feet. He told them that, you know, they were to do that. And they were to show the same sort of commitment to each other as he'd shown to them. And then he began to teach them many things. And they sat down together. They shared the Passover meal, and it was during that time where we get the communion thing, where Jesus took the bread and he took the wine and he broke it and gave it to them. And then after they eaten, they'd after they supped, the Bible says they sung a hymn, and then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed. And while Jesus was praying, Judas arrives with the chief priests and the soldiers, and they arrest Jesus. And you know that he's taken from there, and eventually he's crucified. But on that night, he's speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, look, he's in John 16, he says, I'm going to go away from you. He says, but if I go, he says, I'm going to send, I actually think this is in John 14, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, another Comforter. But in John 16, verse 13, it says that when he has come, the Spirit of Truth, it says, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide them. Lead them. That he'd be their guide. He would lead them into the truth. He takes us out of the world. He leads us out so that we're separate. He leads us out so that we live holy and holy lives before God. He guides us into the way of truth. In John 14, again, this is the same sermon that Jesus, or the same set of teaching that Jesus is preaching. If you look in your Bible, and there's not one after verse 9 of John 14. There's a little bit, he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. But then there's very rarely any black words in those three chapters, 14, 15 or 16. You know, Jesus is just teaching his disciples everything that they need to know. And John 14, he says this in verse 26. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. You know, the Holy Spirit will teach us how to live. He will show us, because that's his ministry. He has a ministry of leading. He has a ministry to bring God's people on. You know, to bring them from one place to another. You know, we see that there's many examples in the scriptures. I'll run through them. You can turn them up if you want to. But you see in the first chapter of Mark 1 verse 12, the Bible says that after Jesus was baptized, it says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, to drive is one of the definitions of the word lead. The Holy Spirit, in other words, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. We see the same thing in Luke 4 verse 1. It's talking about the same account. Luke talks about, he says, that Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. You know, the Holy Spirit led him. You know, God had the Holy Spirit had a purpose and a plan for Jesus, and he led him into that place. In the second chapter of Luke, the Bible, perhaps I'll turn this one up. In Luke 2, because there's a couple of verses I want to read here, starting at verse 25, it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ. So there the Holy Spirit's showing Simeon, this man Simeon, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's shown him that before he dies, he would see the Christ. He would see the Messiah. And it says that, verse 27 says, he came by the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit prompted him and said, look, go down to the temple. You know, the Holy Spirit was leading him, was guiding him. You know, go there. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and prophesied over him. So the Holy Spirit leading Simeon to the temple to see Jesus. We see a similar thing in Acts chapter 10, where Peter's on the rooftop of Simon's house in Joppa, and men come from Cornelius' house to ask Peter to come and down to Cornelius' house, and the Holy Spirit says to him, you know, go with these men. You know, don't ask questions. He says, just go. He says, and I'll show you what to say. And he says, or go without doubting, I think it says in the scriptures, go down without doubting. So the Holy Spirit was leading Peter, told him to go to the household of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 13, we read that the church had met to pray, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said to the church, now this was a church now, the Holy Spirit's leading the church. He said, look, I want you to separate Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas. He says, there's a work of ministry that they've got to do, and I want you to release them for ministry. You know, set them apart and let them go out and do what God has called them to do. But that was the Holy Spirit speaking. He's leading the church. He's directing the church. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God, the scripture says. In Acts 16, we read that the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go into Asia. It says, the Holy Spirit leading Paul. Now, we've been told in the scriptures to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Paul was doing what Jesus commanded him to do. He was going into every nation and every city. He was preaching the gospel. And he made plans and he purposed to go into Asia to preach to them. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't do that. Then the Holy Spirit said, look, he says, I've got a job for you in Macedonia. You go over there and preach the gospel. And then in our reading that we had tonight, in Romans 8, it says this in verse 26. Well, we didn't actually get down to this point. We stopped at 21. But in 26 it says this. It says, the Spirit, likewise the Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. And that's when it goes on to say, look, see, we don't even know how we should pray as we all. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. You know, when we don't know what to do, we can turn to the Holy Spirit for guidance. We can turn to the Spirit to be led. We can ask the Spirit for help, for counsel, for advice. You know, this phrase, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, isn't just something we can say, well, yeah, we're Spirit. This is it describes the lifestyle that the sons of God have. You know, they are reliant on the Holy Spirit to lead them and to guide them. Well, actually, what Paul was saying here is, and if you look at this chapter, he's talking about in verse 12, he says, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of... You know, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into life. He wants to show us how we can really live and serve God. Now it talks there about putting to death the deeds of the body, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. You know, living holy lives. You know, there's many scriptures, you know, we haven't got time to look at them tonight, which go through Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. They all go through and they tell us what we can do, how we put to death the deeds of the flesh. All things like adultery, fornication, murders, envy, anger. And the list is endless. You know, you can go through and read all those things. Put to death these things. The lusts of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. Because we are living by the Spirit. We are meant to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit will not lead us into anything that's wrong. Well, how does the Spirit lead us? Well, there's three things the Spirit uses to lead us. One, the Word of God, whether it's preached or whether we read it. You know, as you're reading the Scriptures, or if you're listening to it on a CD or on a tape, or however you listen to it, whether someone's reading it to you, as it's being read, there'll be something in them, the Spirit will just quicken something. And here, He's showing you how to live. He's showing you how to conduct yourself. He's showing you something to lead you on. You know, God's purpose and intention always to bring us on in God, to lead us on in God. Then we might hear it preached in a sermon. We might hear it sung in a song. And the Spirit just takes it and quickens it. You know, He's showing us something. He's revealing to us something that He wants us to know. Then there's what we call the inner witness of the Spirit. You know, there's quite a few verses which, actually there's one in the reading we had in Romans 8. And we're going to get onto this in a couple of weeks' time, but it says here, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. You know, we're just like that spiritual instinct, you know, inside. We know it's right. We know it's from God. Now, we haven't heard God speak with a voice that we can hear with our ears. We haven't perhaps read it in the Scripture. But we just have that instinct. We just know it's right. It's from God. It's the Holy Spirit speaking inside. You know, there's a Scripture, and I do like this Scripture. I believe it's in Acts 15, where Peter is, or Paul, one of them, the disciples are writing to a church saying that this is what you've got to do. You've got to, and it's, they say in that thing, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. And in other words, they had that inner witness. They felt it was right from God. And then finally, the Holy Spirit leads us through the confirmation of others to counselors. You know, we might feel God speaking to us. We might feel God saying something to us. We might have that inner witness in us. Or we might have the Word of God. Well, God's given us godly men. Our ministers, our preachers. You know, people that we can talk it over with. And we can just get that confirmation. Yeah, we can come before God and say, yeah, we believe this is of God. That God's speaking to you. You know, you can... That's what the disciples say. You know, we believe... This is good. The Holy Spirit's spoken it. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You know, so, you know, you have that word confirmed. And the more fully we are prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, the more completely we will be obedient to God. You know, we'll live. We're conformed to God's standards of holy living. You know, here's a thought just to finish with. Babies are taken and carried everywhere. Sons follow the leading of the Spirit. The spiritual babies, when they come, when they come into the kingdom of God, you know, a new Christian is just like a little baby. You know, then you have to carry them everywhere. Just like you do natural babies. You know, the mother doesn't, the baby isn't born, and the next day she's walking it through the town, and she carries it. Or she pushes it in a pram. You know, she takes the baby everywhere. But if she's still doing that when her little baby's 18, he's got to follow it. He's got to do it himself. He's got to follow his own. He's got to trust his own spiritual instincts. And I'm going to put this thought here just as a closing thought. We've got to stop trying to live for God and start trusting the Holy Spirit. You know, we might not know what to do, but the Holy Spirit does, and He'll quicken us. God's given us what He calls our conscience. And we know when something's right or when something's wrong. We say, well, that's just our conscience. No, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. God uses, He's built that into our makeup, that mechanism, so that we follow His promptings, we follow His leading. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now as we go on in the next few weeks, we're going to see, we're going to look at the spirit of adoption, we're going to look at the fact that we are heirs of God, we're going to look at the manifestation of the sons, you know, the liberty that we have as the sons of God, and it's all in those few verses, and I trust we'll be blessed as we go through. Amen.